How many were here with us last week? We kind of rushed the end. I was concerned about time. There were a few that were here last week that weren't here. I saw you because you were sleeping. But nevertheless, we were here. Those of you that were here, we talked about the works of Abraham. So what I want to do is do a bit of a recap. Do you remember that? Do a bit of a recap from the tail end of last week's service to bring those of you that are not with us up to snuff. And I'm going to just dive right into that here in just a few moments. Now, we've been talking about the subject of faith. How many are learning some things about faith? Yes. You know, I've been telling our group on Tuesday night that one of the most important lessons I think you can learn is frantic faith is not really faith. And that's why I'm so glad for grace. I don't know if that... Did that go right? Okay, frantic faith. A lot of times we hear about faith. We hear, you know, we've been talking for a number of weeks about, to calm me down just a little bit more, Bob. It's a little harder than normal for whatever reason. Is that about right? He says, calm you down? What are you talking about? He said, I can adjust your mic, but that's a tall order. Okay. So, frantic faith. What I mean by that is we get ourselves... How many of you have gotten yourselves into a real jam? Or maybe you didn't have anything to do with it. You just found yourself in a jam. You were broadsided by the enemy, or you got hit in your body, or you got hit in your mind, and you find yourself in a real mess, either of your own making or not of your own making, either way. And in the middle of all this, you hear the preaching of faith. We've been talking about it now for 2 months. You hear the preaching of faith. You get a hold of things like... you know, Jesus saying all things. I mean, how many times have we hit this? First off, we hit all the scriptures that say the just shall live by faith, starting with Romans chapter 1, verse 17. Tells us that the just shall live by faith. How many believe the just shall live by faith? How many who've been here with us for a while understand who the just are? It's those who live perfectly every day. Attend church. You got perfect attendance record. You never cuss. You never drink, you don't never smoke, you never do anything bad, you never get mad. Huh? You live as perfect as you can. Huh? As quiet as it is, I think everybody's not. Okay, so how many understand who the just are? How do you define... biblically, how do you define just? Here's another word for it. Who said it? Righteousness, Lori said. Righteousness. So now, the righteous, that makes it a little clearer, the righteous shall live by faith. How many righteous we have in here? Whoa. What makes you righteous? See, if I'd asked that 2 or 3 months ago, we'd had about half the hands, some going, well, I'm pretty righteous. What makes you righteous? That's partly true. It's not a wrong answer, but it's not a complete answer. How is he in you? You received him by faith. Let's go to a verse that is, everybody knows this verse. Most people, I think, that have been in church for a while can quote it. Go to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Very well-known verse of Scripture. It's the one we refer to about salvation as much as we do Romans. Right? Romans 10, 9 and 10. So let's go to Ephesians. And we're going to start where we were at a few weeks ago. And I just want, this will just be a refresher for you. Verse 4 of chapter 2. It says, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, even when we were dead in sins, as he made us alive together with Christ, by grace are you saved. 6, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. How many believe that this morning? a little weaker response. So here's a breakdown between how we get there and what's going on. How many believe that we are seated together? If you hesitate, it's okay. I'm not picking on you. But if you hesitate, it's because part of this truth isn't quite home yet. God does not see you the way you see you. And your faith will start kicking in gear when you start to really actually believe what he believes about you, what he sees. Listen, Gideon, it would seem that Gideon was a coward. Would you not agree? That sound too harsh? Hiding in a wine press. But God's pronouncement over Gideon was this: Gideon, thou mighty man of valor. God chose, and he always seems to, he chose the unseemly. David wasn't head and shoulders above the rest of Israel. Israel wanted a king. God had somebody else in mind, the prophet king, who would be one who would be called after his own heart, who would discover aspects of grace that were far beyond their time. Last week we read, the Lord is my shepherd. David prophetically speaking of our Savior, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. How many got something out of Psalms 23 last week? Okay, so here we have, by grace are you saved, and hath raised us up together, verse 6, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. God does not see you the way most of us, or most of you, see yourselves. Okay, continue on. That in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness. Everybody say kindness. How many think of God in the terms of kindness? Most of us don't. You know you're supposed to say yes, but we don't think of God, whether we call him God the Father, Jehovah, Elohim, Almighty God, the I Am. We don't think of him as kind. And I think it's interesting that Jesus says, if you've seen me, seen the Father. He had a twofold purpose. One, 1 John chapter 3 tells us, for this purpose was the Son of God manifest to destroy the works of the devil. There's one. Here's the second one. These are the primary things that he came to do other than dying and paying the ultimate price. Are you with me? But in his life that he lived, the demonstration of who God is manifest in the flesh. He had a twofold purpose. I mean, there's a lot of things he did, but follow me. Mainly this, to destroy the works of the devil. Got it? And the second thing was to reveal what had been. Read your Bible. Reveal who the Father was, which means that a lot of what we read from men inspired by the Holy Spirit to write what they did in the Old Testament, even what they saw and understood about God was shadowed and partial. Are you with me? You ever get in a hitch? Look to Jesus. Are you with me? And Jesus will help us see who the Father really is. That in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness. Go with me to Isaiah 54. I love the book of Isaiah. Isaiah 54, 53, of course, the famous prophetic scripture about his death on the cross and what that means. All right, 53, 4 and 5, which says, we're going to look at 54, but 53, 4 and 5 says, surely he's borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted, but he was wounded for our transgressions. How many can say hallelujah? All right, he was bruised for our iniquity. And that's something, the chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his, come on, how many can say it with me, with his stripes. Come on, say it out loud. With his stripes, we are healed. Somebody said, well, that's just spiritual healing. It is. Well, then how come Jesus quotes this verse when he is performing physical miracles, demonstrating his purpose as he walked? He actually references this verse. So anyway, moving on. Then look at Isaiah 54. He is speaking. God is speaking to Israel. But how many know we've been grafted in? God's purpose? How many know God so loved the world that he gave the world? Not just Israel. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Scripture reveals that through the Jewish people, salvation would come to every man. How many are glad for that today? Hallelujah. How many pray for Israel? Bless Israel. Amen. Now, I don't believe that you're blessing. I hear people all the time. I hear all these prophetic Joes. Genesis 12:3, you bless Israel. And I'm going to offend some people right now, but you need to check out your Bible. They say you are blessed if you bless Israel and you're cursed if you don't. That's not true. We are grafted in and are now part of Israel. I would think that if you're a believer, you would want to bless them. But there's no longer a law that says bless, be blessed, curse, be cursed. Jesus was our curse. And we are delivered. Read your Bible. Galatians 3:13 tells us that we are delivered from the curse of any. It's the law, but we are delivered from the curse of the law. Not only that, we need to look at the way God looks at things. I'm not talking about replacement theology, that we replaced Israel. How many know we didn't replace Israel? We were grafted in, but we are just as much Israel in God's eyes as those who are Jews. This is the, listen, read your Bible. Do you hear me? So your blessing is not contingent anymore on any level based on what you do. We're right back to where we've always been over the last two months. It is based on what you believe. Religion says, if you do good, then God will do good to you. Religion tells people all over the world, if you'll behave, if you'll do your part, then God will do his part. We're here to tell you this morning that God has already completely in his Son, to the very nth possible degree, has already done everything that he's going to ever do in reference to your sin, in reference to your being lost, in reference to your failure. How many have blown it before in here in this house? How many need a Savior? See, everybody, we all stand. The Bible tells us that all have sinned. So the ground is level at the cross. I said the ground is level at the cross. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. How many know we all need a Savior? Genesis 12:3, we hear it quoted all the time. You're blessed if you bless Israel and you're cursed if you don't. Well, listen, if you're alive in Jesus, you're not going to... why would you not bless the nation and the people who God loves, who God chose to. Our Jesus was a Jew. Are you with me? But we are no longer blessed or cursed based on anything that we do. We are blessed because of Jesus, who was a Jew. Are you with me? Who through him, salvation came to every man. Is that confusing? We clear on that? Okay. I didn't mean to get that much into that. There's a whole lot to that story. I could get myself in a real mess. Here in Isaiah 54... Okay, God is speaking to Israel, but prophetically, he's talking to you and me. In fact, he says some things here that were not even understood. It was speaking forward of another time. I love it. Isaiah 54 starts out, "Sing, O barren, thou that didst not bear, break forth into singing, cry aloud, thou that didst not travail a child. For more are the children of desolate than the children of the married wife, says the Lord. Enlarge the place of thy tent. Let them stretch out the curtains of thine habitation. Spare not. Lengthen thy cords. Strengthen thy stakes. For thou shalt break forth on the right hand and on the left, and thy seed shall inherit the Gentiles." Did you hear that? So he's talking to the Jewish people, and he's saying, there's a purpose in all of this. It's not where we wound up with professionals of the law arguing with Jesus, being angered by him to the point that they chose to kill him. Are you with me? God's saying, here, there's a purpose in this. So you keep on reading, and make the desolate cities to be inhabited. Fear not, for thou shalt not be ashamed, neither shalt thou be confounded, for thou shalt not be put to shame, for thou shalt not forget the shame of thy youth, thou shalt not remember the reproach. Now, I could get into a lot here, and I realize we've got some people that maybe don't understand a lot about the Old Testament, but suffice it to say, God is speaking to Israel, and he's preparing them for a message. And here's what he begins to say. For thy maker is thine husband, the Lord of hosts is his name. Now, how many know when we received Jesus, we were grafted in? Okay, so we're part of. We are spiritual Israel together with Israel. For thy maker is thine husband, the Lord of hosts is his name, and thy redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. Now, there's a whole different hue beginning to come on. The God of the whole earth, the God of the whole earth, of the whole earth, shall he be called. Again, another inference. Dude, it ain't just stopping with you guys. There's a purpose. It started with Abraham, who believed something. Those of you that were with us last week and the week before, it started with somebody who believed something. How many know Abraham did a lot of dumb things? And we're going to look at that in a minute in Hebrews 11. He did a lot of dumb things. Somebody put it accurately. He is as much the father of failure as he is the father of our faith, as some refer to him, in that he did a lot of dumb things. But you know what? God overlooked the dumb stuff because he believed. Again and again in Scripture, where we see that the only thing that Jesus asked, every miracle that he ever did, he did not ask them about how well they had followed the law, how good they had lived, what their family name was. I know I've worn out that theme over the last several weeks, but I hope it's coming home. The only thing that he recognized, acknowledged, or asked them about was their faith. Do you believe? The man that they let down through the roof. How many have heard that before over the last few weeks? What did Jesus see? Their hard effort, the work, the effort, the sweat, letting him through a roof, letting him down possibly on ropes. However they did that, he was let down through the roof of a house. What did Jesus acknowledge? Their sweat, their effort, their sincerity? No, it says he saw their faith. And then he says something that is very interesting. It's very similar to John chapter 9, where Jesus has a blind man brought to him, and the disciples say concerning the blind man, Lord, who has sinned? His parents or him? And Jesus literally ignores their question. He says, but that the works, what I'm called here to do would be done, I must do what God has told me. He just completely does this to them. He says, there is no sin here. He says, the works that I need to do, I need to get busy and do them. I'm going to paraphrase for you. This is how he answers it. Now, many have turned that around and say, God made that. I'll challenge you that scripture. I don't have time to do that this morning. God did not make that man blind to perform a miracle. I can show that to you in scripture. It doesn't line up with anything else that Jesus ever did. I can show you where the punctuation is off in the verse. You can look at the original Greek. It's silly to look at it any other way. God did not make somebody blind to flex his muscles and heal them. That's not what happened. Jesus' answer to them was, there's no sin here, but I must do the works that the Father sent me to do. He just completely did this. The same thing in Mark chapter 2, when they let the man down through the roof. What was his answer to that situation? Arise, be healed. No, he said, your sins are forgiven you. Through the center of this whole theme is what do you believe? Now, what are you doing? What do you believe? Amen. How many of you are adjusting the way you believe? The goodness of God. He is a good God, okay? So here we go. For the thy maker, this is Isaiah 54, for thy maker is thine husband, the Lord of hosts is his name, thy redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, the God of the whole earth, shall he be called. For the Lord shall The Lord hath called thee as a woman forsaken and grieved in spirit, a wife of youth, when thou wast refused, saith thy God. For a moment have I forsaken thee, but with great mercies shall I gather thee. Here is a reference, I believe, to what happened with Jesus. My God, why, as he hung on the cross in our place, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? How many know that he experienced separation so that you and I would never again have to experience separation. This is why you hear me quote all the time. Hebrews 13:5. Read your Bible. Get your doctrine lined up with the Bible. Here's what he says. Behold, he's telling you, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Right? So that we can boldly say, the Lord is my helper and I'll not fear. Isn't that awesome? Okay. So here's what I've, there is a separation that takes place here. He shall, let me pick up where I was at. For a moment I have forsaken thee, with great mercy will I gather thee. In a little wrath I hid my face from thee for a moment, but with everlasting, look at this term, kindness. Everybody say kindness again. But with everlasting. Now say everlasting. How long is everlasting? He's speaking of a time beyond Israel that he's talking to right now. He said, there's a time coming. I'm going to establish a new kind of covenant, and there is going to be everlasting. That is forever. There's going to be a covenant of kindness that will never cease. Read your Bible. Look at what he says. His, let me back up. In a little wrath I hid my face from thee for a moment, but with everlasting kindness will I have mercy on thee, says the Lord, thy Redeemer. If you don't know what Redeemer is, if you're really new to this stuff, redeem is just a word for having been purchased back. God created everybody in here for the purpose of knowing, experiencing, receiving his love, having a reason to be alive, a calling, a purpose. Everybody in here has a calling. Gideon, who was a coward, scared. God did not see him the way he saw himself. He said, Gideon, I see something that others and you yourself can't see. You mighty man of valor, I'm going to use you to change your world. How many can lift your hands today and say, thank you, Father, I have a calling on my life. There's a reason why I'm alive. Look at what God is telling Israel, and he's speaking now through Christ directly to you and I. For we now live in this new covenant. Only church and religion and preachers like me, who in our intentions were great as we tried to herd the flock, Sally, build corrals, use the law, and say, the grace will help you obey the law. And if you'll be willing and obedient, then God will bless you. That's Old Testament. Something has changed. Jesus boldly offended the religious by saying, only believe. A Gentile soldier said, I've heard enough. You don't have to come to my house. I've heard enough. I may not know the law. My life may not be right. I'm a Gentile. Who knows? But he'd heard enough. He made an adjustment. He said, I believe you're him. Whoever you are, you, I believe you're who you say you are. I take the full money. And I'm telling you, I'm a man in authority. And I'm under authority. And I don't believe you even need to come to my house. You just say the word, and I know. Jesus, God in the flesh, the same one referenced in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3, that the worlds were framed by the word of his power, stands in amazement at a Gentile, barbarian, lawless soldier who simply says, I believe. Now, what do you believe? It's not the world's, hey, man, I believe, man, I believe. So. What are you believing? Have you believed in the Son? Have you believed in what the Son provides? Has religion and law taken the Son and veiled him once again 2 Corinthians chapter 3 says, to this day, Christ, you look it up in your own Bible, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, to this day, Christ remains veiled, hidden from the hearers because of men who stand in churches. He uses synagogues. This is the place of his time. Stand in churches and still preach the law of Moses. This is how you must relate to God. And he said, because of that, men stand enslaved. They are veiled from Jesus. They cannot see him. So what are we believing? We're believing this, that Jesus was enough, period. Believing that what he did for me has made me righteous. Even in the middle of my failure and struggle, and get ready, this is going to ruffle some feathers. In the middle of your sin, Gideon. What do you mean Gideon was in sin? Paul reveals that under the new covenant, anything that is not of faith is sin. That's why everybody stands without excuse and needs a Savior. So it's not just believing. What are you believing? In whom have you believed? Paul says, I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed. Are you with me? To the end. Paraphrase. I'm very glad for Jesus today. I love it. If you can see, I shared with our men's group the true story. I don't remember all of the details. I wished I did because it would give more credence to the story. But it was told to me as a true story of a man in Texas who married a gal from overseas. The reason that he married a gal from overseas, she's a little Oriental gal, was because he said the women in the States are too rebellious. They're not subservient. They're too independent. So he wanted a wife that would take care of business. Well, here she is in poverty. Here she is with not much of a life where she's at. He is her savior, you could say. He brings her to the States, marries her, brings her to the States. But here's the contract. I love you. And I'm going to take care of you, but it's contingent on some things. When I leave in the morning, I want my clothes ironed and ready to go. I want breakfast ready. Coffee handed to me as I go out the door. When I get home, I expect the house to be clean. I expect the dishes to be done, the beds to be made, trash to be emptied, things to be taken care of, supper on the table. You with me? They were married for some years. For her point of reference, it was a wonderful deliverance. Here this man said, if you'll just take care of some things, I'll love you and take care of you. Ring a bell at all. I said, does this ring a bell at all? The true story is that he passed away suddenly. She was left a widow. She was involved in a good spirit-filled church there, continued to serve the Lord. A gentleman began to attend the church and fell fastly in love with her. I mean, he worshiped the ground she walked on. This precious little, if I remember correctly, I believe that she was Vietnamese. He worshiped the ground, that little gal. I think of this story every time because I got a neighbor who's a Seventh-day Adventist. Everybody say, God bless the Seventh-day Adventist. They think Sabbath is all it. How many know Jesus is our Sabbath? All right. But don't criticize them. They believe in our Jesus. And I'll tell you what, some of them, they the best that they know how with what they have, they're bound in legalism. They still, the ones that I've met, know our Jesus. Don't criticize them. Pray for them. Amen. But I see a real devout, a real attempt in a devout stride. We have a neighbor that lives right across on the other side of the doers at our house. He's married to a little Vietnamese gal. And daily, you can see it's not the kind of relationship that I just described. You can see him, every morning they walk all the way down, probably a quarter mile down, and another one probably a half mile from their house all the way down Parama and back across the bottom of her house. And they've always got a little dog with them. And you'll see him walking with her faithfully every day and helping her through the little holes in the road. And they're talking. And they do this almost every day. He treats her like a queen. And I think of this story because this man finally asked for her hand in marriage. She, of course, has fallen in love with him. They get married. But there was a problem. And the problem was very different from the first. This man at first couldn't understand. You know, they're well up, and this is a couple well up in age. He doesn't understand. He'd get home, and she would greet him with a kiss, but very, very stiff and formal, and everything would be perfect. He'd leave in the morning. And one day it dawned on him, he said, we need to talk. I don't love you for what you do. I love you. You don't have to do all this. If you want to, that's great. But you're not in trouble when I get home. I love you. Take some time for yourself. I don't care if I come home and the dishes are in the sink. I love you. As the story was told me, that little lady worshiped the ground that man walked on. For she found somebody that truly loved her. And she did more because of that love than she ever did under a code based on an agreement of law. If you can believe on the love of the Father, in that His love was demonstrated to us in His Son Jesus, who literally stood in your place and took the hit forever. Get ready. Here goes another religious bone right here. Took the hit for every sin, past, present. You say, in the future, Pastor Lee? You better hope so, because he died 2,000 years ago. See, we are afraid when we hear that, because we're not concerned about us. We're concerned about somebody else taking advantage. We got it. We just don't want somebody else. We're always pointing. We're always comparing. Jesus, you don't worry about everybody else. You get into this and you say, Jesus, I believe. This is what Paul was talking about. There is therefore, because of chapter 4 and particularly and 5, again, he gets to 8 and he says, there is therefore now no fear of punishment from the Father ever again. Because of sin. Now, how many know that sin hurts? Sin is stupid. It takes you places you don't need to go. Keeps you there longer than you ever intended. Sin carries with it death. The wages of sin is death. I didn't say that sin doesn't have consequence. I'm saying that the consequence is no longer judgment from God. Therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. I'm very glad for Jesus today. What about the rest of y'all? Well, this is the gospel. It offends the religious. You okay there, Linda? Did you sleep good last night? How many of you follow me? Now look at this Isaiah 54. Isaiah 54. It is comfortable in here, isn't it? Okay. Are you freezing? Anybody else freezing? They're freezing, ushers. Where are the ushers at? Jack, can you go find... There he comes. They're freezing. You can't please these women, guys. Just do the best you can. I feel your pain. Just do it. Sally, don't look at me like that now. Come on. You're supposed to be my friend. All right. Are you getting anything out of this? I don't mean to be over laborious, but if we don't deal with these issues, we're just going to have another good mission. You go into the next week saying, yeah, I believe. Well, what do you believe? Look at Isaiah 54 again. 8, in a little wrath I hid my face from thee for a moment, but with everlasting kindness. Everybody say everlasting kindness. This is what took us on that rant. Everlasting kindness. Will I have mercy on thee, says the Lord, thy Redeemer. How many are glad for a Redeemer? Woo! Job said, I need somebody. I need somebody. And Elihu showed up. We talked about that. All right. Look at verse 9. You want to know how sure this deal is going to be? You want to know how secure the new covenant is right now? You want to know how sealed? Amen. Ephesians talks about those who have believed, how that we are sealed. Everybody say sealed. Brother Womack uses the term vacuum packed. Your spirit, man, is vacuum packed, sealed by the Holy Spirit unto the day of redemption. I don't care what that, you know, you one of those once saved? No, I'm not a once saved. I'm not any of the labels. I'm just saying read your Bible and look at what it says. The Holy Spirit, if you have truly put your faith in Jesus, the Holy Spirit seals you until the day of redemption. Don't argue with me, argue with the Word. Now here's what Isaiah 54, let's just keep reading. You want to know how sure this is? For this is as the waters of Noah. God is speaking and he's saying, here's what I see when I think of my covenant of eternal, everlasting kindness towards you. Do you understand? Here's what God's imagined. Did you know God has an imagination? You better believe he has an imagination. You see how beautiful Arizona is? Somebody said God was, when he was forming the earth and making the world and everything, he said he wound up with a pile of rocks he didn't know what to do with at the end, and he threw them down in Arizona. How many love this state? Ugh. Somebody said, I need a vacation. I don't know. I've been here, I don't know. How long have I been here? How long have we been here? 11 years? And I still, my vacation, all it takes for me is to crawl up on my roof and look around for a half hour and I'm good. I love it. From Ajo to Page, Havasu to Springerville, I like it all. I don't see any ugly. How about you? I love it. But really and truthfully, the world we see is scarred and marred because of sin. With all of its beauty, can you imagine what it must have been like before the curse? Amen. If it's this stinking beautiful, can you imagine? And the Bible says that this earth groans in travail, awaiting its redemption as well. Don't you believe this last day's nonsense you're hearing? This whole thing's going to be blown sky high and burn up with fire, and we're going to go float around on baby. No, the Bible says Jesus is coming back to reign here. Not going to be weird. It's going to be awesome. Might even still have caballos, Pat. Never know. Somebody says, what? All right, so anyway, for this is as the what? God says, this is what's in my imagination when I'm thinking of this everlasting deal we're talking about. He says, this is what I think of. For this is as the waters of Noah unto me, for as I have sworn that the waters of Noah should no more go over the earth. So have I sworn that I would not be, you know what wrath means if you're reading King James? Mad. I'm here to tell you that because of Jesus, God isn't even a little bit miffed with you. Just like you are, with all of your baggage, and he can handle more. Amen. That kind of faith. Pastor Lee, man, there's got to be a line. Oh, really? Where I wanted to go this morning, and I'm probably not going to make it, is Rahab. Anybody know what a harlot is? Does anybody in here know what a harlot is? Could we decensor this? It's a prostitute, a whore. How's that? The first registered Gentile convert listed in the genealogy of our Lord and Savior, listed in the hall of faith, not for what she did, people, but because of who, in whom she believed. And her whoredom did not change overnight, but because of what she believed, it came to an end. This stuff that says grace is, God's okay with everything, is a bunch of hooey. But the flip side of that is saying that if you really got grace, then you got grace enough to get out of this. You've been saved a week. Come on. You've been saved. Somebody, Brother Hagin said years ago, he said, somebody come up to him and said, "Brother, I've been in the way for 30 years. And he said, "Yeah." And he said, "I wish you'd get out of the way." How many are glad for Jesus today? Now here's God's imagination about you. "For this is the waters of Noah to me." This is what I'm seeing. "For as I've sworn that the waters of Noah should no more go over the earth." I'm drawing a line. This is why all this global warming stuff is so utterly stupid. Don't buy into it. It's dumb. It's not a political thing. It's a godless thing. And there's people on both sides that are fools. Don't worry. Miami's not going to be underwater. God said it's going so far, and that's where it stays. "Well, they got you over here. They're killing the bears over here because it's all melting. Over here, we're not telling you, this is freezing up like it hasn't for a long time." It's the earth doing what the earth does. It breathes. Can everybody say breathes? It breathes. Well, we used to hear about the ozone layer, and then they found out. You don't hear about that very often anymore, do you? It just breathes. One volcano eruption can do way more than anything we're doing. I'm not saying we shouldn't be in good stewards. How in the world, Dad, help me. How did I get in this stuff? I'm going to stop right there. Think what you want. I don't care. "For the mountains shall depart." Listen to what he says. "For the mountains shall depart and the hills be removed. But my kindness shall not depart from thee, neither shall the covenant of my peace." Can everybody say kindness and peace? What does your God look like? Because, well, wait a minute though. You know you're supposed to say it because that's what I'm preaching. I'm asking you internally, when you're alone, when you bite the dust, when things blow up, you get fired, somebody calls you and everything hits, or you get a terrible physical. What does your God look like? That's in whom you believe. And what you believe, what you project on God. Psychologists use a term called projection. This is found in a simple phrase. Hurt people hurt people. James Richard talks about his dog that he loved. They were the best of buddies. They hunted together. They ran together. They played. He was 10, 12, something in that area. Immaterial. And he loved that dog. Oh, and they were best of buddies. That dog worshipped him. He was hit by a car out on the road. He ran out to where the dog was dying, reached out to touch his lifelong buddy, and the dog bit him or tried to bite him. And he said, this illustration serves to show you what people that are hurting. Don't be so quick to judge when people bite. Those who walk by the Spirit. That's hard to learn. Whew, that's hard for a pastor to learn. Forget about you. I mean, I don't say forget about you. I'm saying, I mean, aside. Forget about you. No, aside from you. A pastor really knows what this is about. Because we deal with hurting people all the time. And if you start taking personal, you're just going to do this. But you know, people that truly know they're loved. I've worn this out, but it may be new for some of you. John is the only apostle who I believe four times. Check me out. I believe it was four times. Repeatedly, for sure, said, I, John, the apostle whom Jesus loved. If you read John's writings, you know he was not arrogant. He was not prideful. He did not think of himself higher than he ought. It was the opposite of who he was. What he was saying was, I got it. Interestingly, John's the only one who knew who betrayed Jesus. The only one. John is the only one who seemed to stand fearlessly at the foot of the cross when Jesus says, would you take care of my mama? You didn't know Jesus spoke with a southern accent, did you? He's the only one of the apostles that they could not kill, according to Scripture. All of them died horrible. They tried. Isn't that amazing? Who do you believe in? What does your God look like? Do you project your trial, your struggle, your fears, your concerns on him? Who in whom? What do you believe? Jesus said all things are possible in that believeth. What are we believing? Who are we believing in? Right now I'm showing you who you can believe in. He turned his back, but for a moment, on his own son. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? As a result of that separation for us and in our place, he who knew no sin, write this down in your Bible, never forget it, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. He who knew no sin, the sinless, pure Lamb of God, became sin for us. So that by our believing, we would be made in our spirit man as righteous as God himself by faith, not by what we do. I know we're talking about faith, and a lot of you in here, some of you think I've worn this grace thing out. I've not worn it out until you can preach it with me, with conviction. Anybody can repeat words. I believe this is the biggest challenge. Why do I believe this is the biggest challenge? Jesus healed a man let down through a roof by saying, your sins. What? Are forgiven. The dude didn't even ask for that. You understand that? Who are you? God? That you have the power to forgive sins? And he says, what difference does it make if I say, pick up your bed and walk, or your sin? How many getting a picture yet? Who do you believe? What's your God look like? Let me give you a picture. Let's continue. For the mountains shall depart and the hills be removed, but my kindness. You say, well, when's this going to happen? Maybe you're new to this. It already happened. He's speaking of when Jesus would come, die on the cross, prove and ratify the work of grace from the Father, in that he was resurrected Ephesians 1 says he was resurrected by the exceeding great power of the Father. And through that work, you and I who believe on the Son, here's what Scripture says. If we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart, if today you're hearing this, you don't have to understand everything, but your heart is leaping and you're saying, I don't even know why, but this is true. This is what I need. That's God pulling you because He loves you. And right now I'm telling you, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years ago, He was already talking about His covenant of kindness and peace that would be established forever. Though the mountains shall depart and the hills be removed, my kindness shall not depart from thee, neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, says the Lord that hath mercy. How many can lift your hands today and thank Him for mercy today? We talk a lot about grace, but oh man, come on, Jesus, we love you today. Thank you for mercy. I love what I heard years ago. Grace is, I get what I don't deserve. Mercy is, I don't get what I deserve. Beautiful. Beautiful. Why? Because of Jesus. O thou afflicted, listen to the Spirit of God speak to you today. O thou afflicted, tossed with tempest, without comfort, I will lay thy stones with fair colors and lay thy foundation with sapphires. I will make the windows of thy gates and gates. This is all very colorful language. God's going to build a new house. And you, as Peter said, are living stones. Beautiful. I will make the windows of thy gates and the gates of thy of Carmel, all thy borders of pleasant stones. Now look at verse 13. Some of you need to lay claim to this. See, who have you believed in? What does your God look like? Because that's probably where you're kind of the results that you're getting. If we can get Jesus unveiled again, who came to reveal the Father, are you following me? Here's what he said. Look at the first thing out of the chute. How many believe in God for kids? Come on, people. How many believe in God for kids? How many have suffered years, heartache? Here's what your Bible says. Believe with me today that what Jesus did was enough. Stevie, come home. And all thy children shall be taught of the Lord. And great and great. Man, some of you are being blinded right now by a spirit of unbelief. I get it. I'm not accusing you. I'm saying I get it. I understand. But it's like, bam! How is that? You don't even know what I'm dealing with. I've been praying for 30 years. Stop. Hold true. Jesus said, let us go to the other side. And midway, it looked like everything was up. Master, do you not even care that we die? You're going to stink and sleep in the boat? We're going to perish. You know why he's sleeping? Because he already said, we're going to the other side. This is why I tell our group, midweek group, Bible school, frantic faith. Thank God you're reaching for what you can. I'd rather you have frantic faith for a while until you get real faith, because that means you're reaching, you're believing God, you're confessing the Scripture, you're feeling it. But frantic faith, are you with me? Is what we need to do is see Him, then see the one in whom we believe, and begin to set our table. This is hard to hear when you're in pain. I got it. But I want to ask you a question. Do you believe that He is the same yesterday, today, and forever? I do. How about you? Utterly and completely. Set your table with promises. Don't turn it into a formula. It's a relationship. In this relationship, he provided great and exceeding precious promises that in him all of them are yes and amen. Set your table with promises. Get into the Word of God. Set your table. Lift your hands and worship him. Even when it doesn't seem like it's working, you know these things are true. Worship him. Take the pressure off. Paul spoke of being fully persuaded. The writer of Hebrews talks about men who were persuaded. That you reach a place where the franticness stops and you're like Job and you say, I don't care if it never happens. I don't care if God kills me. I'm still going to serve him. There comes a place where you break over the franticness. You settle into a place. You say, man, I know. And something, stuff that you've been trying to get done for a long time just seems like, man, where did this come from? Surely goodness. Here's the promise. The last verse in Psalms 23 that we read last week. Surely goodness. Can you shout it with me today? Surely goodness and mercy shall pursue me all the days of my life. Isn't that awesome? If you can get some adjustments here. Listen, if God can heal somebody in this service, this has happened repeatedly over the last several months, and you be free of pain for 3 days. I talked to this about our group, again, in Bible school. 3 days, 3 weeks, 3 months, 3 years, is it any less of a miracle? So why can we only get 3 days and we can drop 3 weeks? Why get 3 days and not have 3 years? What's going on there? It has to do with a belief system. Not a do system, a belief system. I'm not putting a burden on you. Thank God that while I'm learning, while I'm not putting it all together, His grace is sufficient for me. Even in the struggle, in the trial, tests and trials will come. We know that it's not from Him. We know that it's a good fight of faith. Aren't you glad for that? But there's more than hope. All things are for every person in here. Everything you're trusting and believing God for. Piece by piece, I want to, by the Spirit of God, reassemble what your table looks like. Help the picture. When you think of the Father, do you think of kindness and peace? Or is there still a shadow and a... How many love Jesus today? And let me take it a little bit farther. How many love the Father? For the Father was revealed in the Son. Isn't this cool stuff? Talk about my message. We're just reading the Bible. I'm not that arrogant. Talk about this. All thy children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace. How many can underline that this morning? Come on, some of you ought to underline that and highlight it in red and yellow and blue on the outside. Say, that's mine in Jesus' name. In righteousness. What? This is old covenant. I thought it was all about the law. In righteousness? Thou shalt be established. Thou shalt be far from oppression. How many have ever dealt with oppression? Bring it a little closer home. Depression. The Monday morning funk lasts till Friday. You want to know the answer? It's not another pill. It's not another doctor. I'm not making fun of those that have legitimate physical issues. And I'm not saying stop. I've been accused of that so many times, I'm tired of it. I've never told anybody, stop taking your medicine. That's between you and the Lord. And God's not mean like that. He's going to work with you where you're at. Take your pill and believe God. Your faith is not in taking or not taking the pill. Your faith is, the more I see him, the more I believe. I've seen people get healed while, where the doc, they started having an adverse reaction to the medication. And the doctor said, I don't know what's going on, but you need to get off that. So that flies totally in the face of, if you're really in faith, you'll stop taking your medication. That's crazy. That kills people. Now, if God speaks to you, my daughter did that. Scared my wife and I into the middle of next week. You know, the faith people believe God, honey, believe God. We believe the word, like I'm doing today. We believe the word of God. Then when she did it, we're like, don't do that. But the Lord revealed in her heart, diagnosed with Hashimoto, hypothyroidism, already developed a goiter, years on Synthroid, already experiencing problems in her joints and bones, all the stuff that went with it. Second year in Bible school, the Lord spoke to her in reference to communion and forgiveness. She let go of some things, took some things in and said, it's done, and walked away. And a little girl that used to call me, when she forgot one pill, confused about where she was at, where she was going, parked on the side of a 4 or 5 stinking lane highway in Tulsa, Oklahoma, disoriented because she missed one pill. Since that day, the one that leads worship. Oh, yes. Do you understand? Me either. But I know in whom I've believed. The more I see him, the more I set my table, the less frantic I get. Aren't you glad for Jesus today? He's saying more in what I'm not saying right now than what I'm saying, and I know that, so just take it in. I'm going to cut you loose. We're going to get out of here at a decent time today. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that great? And we're not going to worry about Rahab. We'll have to do Rahab next week. I already touched a little bit on it. We'll get to Rahab later, okay? In righteousness shalt thou be established. Thou shalt be far from oppression. Here is right now, the next phrase here tells me where believers are in reference to grace. Why are you hammering grace? I thought we were talking about faith. By grace through faith. If we don't have this nailed down, faith becomes another work. And we will push faith just like we did as legalists under the law, and it just becomes another law. Faith is about relationship. Faith is about trust. Faith is a little Vietnamese lady who, because somebody loved her, did more than she ever did. Isn't that beautiful? Did you see him? Who is the God you see? Let these messages, let your own reading of the word, let some things be opened up. Some of you need to get out of the Old Testament. There's a lot of, the Bible itself says that the Old Testament is shadowed in a very partial revelation. Jesus says, I came to reveal who he really is. When you look at me during this 3.5 years, you have seen the Father. In righteousness shalt thou be established. Thou shalt be far from oppression. Thou shalt not... Here's the next phrase. And thou shalt not fear. I can identify quickly where somebody is at in this understanding. If there's fear, I don't mean a normal natural fear. How many know you ought to be afraid of blindfolding yourself and walking across the highway? Hope so. Okay to be afraid enough of bears camping up at the head of Sycamore Canyon to want something more than a piece of burlap between you and the outside. I got it. That's a healthy... We're not talking about that kind of fear. We're talking about a fear before God. Not fearing God as in honoring him and awed by his greatness. Blown away, a sense of reverence and awe and respect and love just flooding. That's another kind of the fear of the Lord. That's beautiful. I'm talking about fear before God because of who you believe you are. Hey, Gabriel. What did the angel of the Lord, who is Jesus, by the way, in the Old Testament, again and again and again says, stand up. Fear not. Fear not. Over and over again, fear not. Fear not. Fear not. Fear not. Fear not. Aren't you glad for Jesus today? Here's what Isaiah 54 says. Thou shalt, now if you're afraid, well, hey, that's why we're here. We're learning together. That's why mercy is so beautiful. While I'm getting it and failing at getting it, He loves me. I hope you're getting that. That's all that little Syrophoenician woman was saying. But Lord, I've heard enough about you. Let me put this back to you. Even the puppies are eating the crumbs. And Jesus went, wow. Just like with the centurion. Wow. He knew what was going to come. I think he prompted it. He perceived what was going on there. And he prompted it. And boy, did faith come out. A little heathen Gentile girl that said, I've seen enough to know you're him and I believe in you. Beautiful stuff. You doing all right? Thou shalt not fear. Right now, in Jesus' name, a name that is above every name. Come on, people, hook up with me for a moment. Can we just stop having church? Stop having a message for a moment? Right now, in Jesus' name, I bind the spirit of fear. For God, 2 Timothy 1:7, has not given us a spirit of fear, but of what? Can you just lift your hands right now and receive that? I bind fear. Fear that keeps us awake at night. Fear that causes us to wake up with our jaws hurting because we didn't even know. Subconscious clenching our teeth, grinding our teeth. Fear of the future. Fear of death. Fear of losing another opportunity. I bind you in Jesus' name. You lying, foul devil. And I speak the life of God and liberty in the name of Jesus. I thank you where the Spirit of the Lord is. Jesus unveiled where the Spirit of the Lord is. There is liberty. Come on, would you say freedom is mine in Jesus' name? I'm taking it. God's doing a work in here right now. You can let it pass on by or you can kick your hands up and say, that's for me. I break the spirit of fear over you in Jesus' name. These little attempts at faith reaching over a big wall of fear. But we smash the wall, walk free, and say, I know, like Paul. It may look like a wreck right now, but I'm getting to the other side, by God, literally. Behold, they shall surely gather together. Oh, you're going to have trouble. I mean, figure that out yet. We got that one down. All of us got that one. But it's not going to... Look at what he says, people. We spent several months on Job. Look at what he says when he's speaking to the covenant of peace and kindness. He says, they're going to gather against you. They're going to gather together against you, but not by me. Did you just read your Bible? It's not God doing it. Here's another verse. He's not the one. They're going to come together against you, but not, look at your Bible, but not by me. Whosoever shall gather together against thee shall fall. Jump on down. Verse that we all know, but now in the light of what we're talking about. 17. No weapon. Some of you need to quit right now in Jesus' name. I break the bands in Jesus' name off of your mind that would render certain verses cliche. Oh, yeah, that verse. Yeah, the weapons formed against you thing, whatever, and you can't even quote it. It doesn't. Listen, who is your God? Who are you seeing? Are you seeing kindness and peace? Are you seeing somebody who loves you? But there's some disapproval. He would have to disapprove of Jesus. Listen, you read your Bible. He would have to disapprove of Jesus right now. Disapprove of you. You said, but Brother Lee, I've got some stuff. Oh, do you? Well, so do I. The measuring stick is faith. Not do, faith. He started with a harlot. A type of the church. We'll look at it next week. Who was loved and redeemed. And love changed her life. The old stopped, speaking to us that our past has nothing to do. God's got good things in store. You understand, Pastor, what they've done and what they've... your mouth and quit pointing fingers. Look at you. After you've had a good bitter cup of you, look to Him and receive deliverance, the author and the finisher of your faith. No weapon. What does your Bible say? Not Pastor Lee. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. He didn't say it wouldn't be formed. I've heard all kinds of stuff taken out of context in the Greek and all these colorful examples. He's talking about a weapon. It builds. They gather together. But know that it's not me. And the weapons that are being formed and the rumble of tanks and the demonic attacks, if you'll keep your eyes on what I have told you, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. Look at your Bible. And every tongue that rises against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, their righteousness. In case you were wondering what righteousness he's talking about, he's not talking about your righteousness according to the due of the law. He says, and their righteousness shall be of me. And I end with this verse. I have worn it out, and I hope I continue to wear it out until you can preach it with me. Galatians 2:20. I was crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives. Can you say it with me? Lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself, His life, for me. You've been ministered to this morning. Prayer partners, make your way up here to the front. Let me see, how many prayer partners we got this morning? Who we have going up for prayer? You guys going up? Come on up here. Let's stand our feet this morning as we're dismissed. I'm going to dismiss you rather abruptly. I told you I'd let you out early, and we're going to do it. All right? So here we go. Kevin says, bless the Lord. Shame on you. No, I can't say that. That's the wrong. Hallelujah. I'm going to stand up here where I can see you standing. How many just have received the peace of God even in this congregation this morning? We need a, who all do we have up here helping us out? John and Leanna, would you officially get up here and help us out? Don't leave this morning. There is no shame in admitting, I'm getting some of this, but I need some help. I need some agreement. You're going through something today. Don't leave here in pain. I don't mean just physical. Don't leave here hurting in your heart. Don't leave here wondering where you stand. Don't leave here. If you've never received Jesus as your personal Savior, this is the most awesome day ever to do that. We got people. I'll remain here. We'll lead you in a prayer. You can come into relationship. It is not hard. God's already taken care. All you got to do is say, I trust you, man. I trust you. The thief on the cross did not, he couldn't do anything. He was kind of nailed down. You got the point, didn't you? All he said was, wow, you're really him. quick as a flash. I say to you this day, you will be with me. This wasn't complicated. I believe you are who you say you are. Paul put it this way. If you believe that he died for you and was raised from the dead, with your heart, and that comes out of your mouth, you're saved. That's it. Today you're already saved. Go back to that foundation. This is where healing comes in. This is where provision comes in. This is where deliverance from fear comes in. Miracles. Are you ready for miracles, people? We don't have to kick them down the road. They're happening already. It's right there. They're ours. Are you with me? Eyes, ears, nerves, blood. Are you here today? He is the same. Yesterday, today, and forever. But we have to, by the Spirit of God, start peeling back the veil. See Him. Are you here today? He loves you. I'm thankful today that fear, come on, are you here today? Is broken. Some of you are going to walk out of here, whew. Great peace. And you see Him by the Spirit of God today. The Father of kindness. Not the God you've always pictured. It's that dad you always wanted. Some of us have had that dad, but many people haven't. The dad you've always wanted, who is near and dear and tender and close. Okay, Keeley, that's over. That's it. You understand what I'm saying? You understand what I'm saying? The Father of kindness. Some of you need a dad. He's here. You receive that dad for who he is, it'll help you supernaturally to love a dad who never deserved it. Maybe deserved hate or worse. But be set free today. In Jesus' name. Are you here? Do you hear what I'm saying? Would you say with me, He is good? Now it means something, doesn't it? Now that means something, doesn't it? He is good. Come on, would you lift your hands with me? He is good. And His mercy for me endures forever. Hallelujah, Jesus. Amazing grace.
How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind.
Jared Martin, help me, my mind's drawing a blank. Jared Martin, Julia, these names are all Alden. Can I see your hands? Jared Martin, Julia, and Lizzie, are you in here today? Anybody know where this came from? A Bible? But this was today. I've got an answer for this right now. So I need to find out. I've got a number on here.
Hallelujah.
Was grace
that taught my heart
to be blown away with love and honor.
Grace,
different kind.
Fears relieved.
Are you here today?
How precious did that grace appear, the hour I first believed.
Every head bowed, every eye closed, nobody looking around just for a few minutes before we're dismissed. If you're in here this morning, I'm going to give you 10 seconds. I'm going to count down. You're saying, man, this is what I need. I mean, rubber meets the road, no more games. I need Jesus. And I'm ready to step into a new life with Him. If that's you starting right now from 10 down, lift up your hand high where I can see you and pull it back down so I can see who you are. I want to pray with you after the service. Anybody in here like that at all? Just kick your hand up high where I can see you. 10, 9, 8. Anybody at all? Say, that's me, Brother Lee. I want you to pray with me. I want to receive Jesus. 6, 5, 4. Anybody at all? 3, 2, 1. Lift your hands together, people. Father, we love you. We thank you today for who you are, for what you've done, for delivering me from fear in Jesus' name, that my children are far from oppression in Jesus' name, that you are establishing me in your righteousness in Jesus' name. Thank you for deliverance that is already mine. Amen and amen. Are you blessed today?